Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lee, and this is Lee and Keys Real Talk. Tonight, we'll be talking a whole bunch of MMA. Waiting on my guest host, Keys, to call in. And, you know, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the events from this past weekend at UFC 217. We're going to talk about Frankie and Dominique injuries. We're going to talk about Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. What's good
you
with
me?
You? Yeah,
what's
I can hear
you.
What's
up, bro? All right.
Man,
word,
man.
Yo,
what's up with you?
Straight zoned out. I was like, oh, shit. The show, 8 o'clock, it was right on the dot. And so I called and I heard you talking. I was like, God, I ain't that late. Word, word.
Well, I'm leaving.
What are we getting into right now? What are you stopping them up with?
Yeah. Well, I'm leaving.
Oh, what's up,
Keys.
Everybody?
You know, yeah, we're about to get into a lot of topics tonight. UFC tonight. We're going strictly UFC tonight. A lot of y'all that might have listened to us last week, last show, we was knee deep in hip hop, but tonight we're gonna be knee deep in MMA. We got a whole lot to talk about. So what's going on, Keys, man? How you doing, bro?
Not bad. You know, I think we just saw. Wait, what's today's date? November 10th. So tomorrow, it was last weekend. We saw some great fights. Saw some awesome fights. And I'm shocked that the whole event stayed together. I was, like, crossing my fingers, hoping that there wasn't going to be, you know, one of the, you know, big fights on the card was going to have somebody pull out with an injury, or they were going to get flagged by USADA, or the whole fight get canceled for some other third reason we don't know about, and something fall apart, but it managed to stay intact for the most part. I think there was, like, one fight that was canceled. I think it was a prelim fight, but all the fights on the main card went down, I believe. What's it called? And the craziest thing about it was is that we saw not one, not two, but all three champions lose their belts on Saturday night, and that was definitely crazy. That was very shocking to me. I actually, at my first prediction, I had all three champions win, and then I changed my mind, and then I had Joanna losing. So I was right about Rose, and I believe Lee said he had TJ and GSP winning, and I had Rose.
That's right. I was 2-1, and you were 1-2.
Yeah, I was wrong about those last two fights, but my boy Cody got Goff. That boy. He got killed in there. That boy.
Well, I think I think UFC 217 was like it was like a eye opener to UFC fans that anything can happen on any night. You know, that anybody can beat anybody at any time, because I would have never predicted that all three champions would lose. And the way they all lost, they had lost by submission. No, it was knockout, submission. I mean, it was the fights, the OST, the Ovince fight. He ended up knocking the guy out. I think everything actually ended up being finishes that night. I'll have to check that, but I think most of the fights ended in finishes. I think maybe one or two from the prelims, man, went to decision, but I think most of them were based on finishes.
It was a night.
But
it was just a
whole.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it was definitely a strange night, but a good night for UFC fans. But I think one thing that we as UFC fans, what we tend to forget is, I know me and you talk about this, but going into the fights, there has to be a good guy and there has to be a bad guy. And you saw that live out within the weigh-ins, the press conferences, all the way up to the fights. But after the fights, everybody showed each other the proper respect they was due, because that's what you need to do in that sport, because you can lose your life in that octagon. I think a lot of people don't take that serious enough.
Yeah, man, I feel like I agree with what you were saying. First of all, that event was definitely a big eye-opener for fans who might not be as familiar with the UFC and familiar with a card where, you know, there's so many big surprises. And I feel like a lot of fans, that they watch a lot of events and it starts to feel like it's predictable. And just at the moment when you start to feel like you've got things figured out and you can start calling fights, this was the event that completely shocked you and changed your mind. And now you don't know what to think. And that actually makes for, you know, the most exciting parts about these cards, is that this was the most unpredictable event. You know, all the stoppages and the way all the fights went, was like, this is probably the most unpredictable event, you know, of the last year, at least the last year, last 2 years, I would say.
Okay. I got a question for you, man. I definitely got to ask you this question. So after the fight, you know, they had the post-fight show, and your boy T. Wood said, and I think I'm going to quote him right now. I might miss a word or two. He said, since George St. Pierre did not want to fight me, I will move up to fight him. Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing for T. Wood?
That's a good question. I don't know, because if he's, I mean, that's a pretty big jump. I mean, it's funny, because I remember before, T-Wood, you know, he was talking with Bisping. He wanted to fight Bisping originally, and I think they were going to do a catchweight fight. I don't know if it was going to be at, you know, 175 or somewhere in the middle, but I remember they were talking about a fight. He was talking about a fight with Bisping when he was the champion, but that was a bit before the event. That was a good while before. That was probably like much earlier of this year. I mean, and going into that, if he were to fight Bisping, I would have given him a really good chance with beating Bisping. I think T-Wood could compete with GSP. I don't really know. I can't predict it off the top of my head. I don't really know what happened. I mean, this fight, I kind of looked at the same way. It was like, I wanted Bisping to win, but it's GSP. Like, this dude, I mean, no one would have expected that he was going to look that good on the feet. Look at his striking. Like, look how much he improved. And look how fresh he looked. This man looked like, you know, he fought the day before, and it wasn't 4 years ago. And I think that shocked a lot of people. So, Woodley going into that fight, and of course, I'm confident in my boy, and I'm probably root for him, but it's a tough call with GSP, because that man, he looked really good in there, you know, and I imagine he'd be just as prepared for that one, because he knows, and I'm going to tell you, he knows Woodley was the bigger challenge. And I'm going to say this, there's a reason why he didn't go back to his actual belt, and he went to fight Bisping. So I'm glad you asked me that question.
You know what's funny is that I look at it a different way. I think that more fighters now don't like the weight cut. So they rather fight at their closer to their walk around weight than to try to go down. Let's say GSP walks around at two. Let's say he walk around at 210. Do you really think he wants to drop 40 pounds of weight, you know, just to make 170? I mean, you know, I just think that is different. I think most fighters now, they rather fight closer to their walk-around weight than to try to fight in a specific division. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that could be. It just makes me wonder. Hold up.
it just makes me wonder what was so different, you know, back then when it seemed like everybody was, I mean, everybody wanted to move up now. Everybody wanted to see Conor McGregor, you know, fighting at 170, a couple fights with Nate Diaz, like, and then, you know, at the same time, it's like, if you look at it, he might have actually been making a big cut to fight at featherweight the whole time. So in that case, you're right. It's like, that was just an example, but, you know, it maybe that is just the thing that, like, you know, the fighters don't want to risk the weight cut because the thing is dangerous. And, you know, it's not good for your body, and they go through a lot of struggle to get down, to get off the weight. And it's not a very enjoyable process. I mean, I can't imagine, but shedding that weight in that small time can't be healthy for your body. So I think nowadays they're more looking at the health risks, and there's more of a focus on that and an emphasis on that. And that definitely plays a big factor now.
Okay. I get it. All right, so
I had a big question.
We talked about
I have a follow up question because that's something I've been wanting to ask you. So,
okay,
you at a crossroads now. Remember, I mentioned this before because so at the event and actually the last two events because you had Demetrius Johnson beat Ray Borg, right? Very impressive performance.
Yep.
Very dominant.
Yep.
It was one of the most incredible finishes and debatably probably the most incredible submission finish I've ever seen, ever. And
probably in U.S. history. It's top five.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying the best one I've ever seen live. But, yes, to someone who's seen a lot more submission victories than me, probably it got to be in the top five. But so very impressive. And then 217, you have your other boy, TJ. He just got Cody Garbrandt. He got him out of there in less than two rounds, you know, in the second round, I believe it was, by stoppage, by punches. He caught him, you know, with a hook, and he got him down. He got him out of there two rounds. And if you remember, I know you remember, this leads back to the original fight that they wanted. If you look at it, TJ and Demetrius Johnson both just had very impressive victories in their last fight, back-to-back event. This sets up the UFC and Dana White to make the fight that they were trying to make in the first place. And then both of them went on to get booked for different fights. So it comes down to your boy TJ now. Does he got to fight Demetrius Johnson? And I think he actually mentioned something about doing that after the fight. So what happens with that if Dana tries to book that? That's my question to you.
Okay. All right. My thing with TJ is this. See, TJ trying to make it seem like that Demetrius had to fight him to make his record legit. No, Demetrius didn't have to fight you to make his record legit. You didn't think you was going to get Cody Garbrandt, so you were looking for another big money fight, and your only big money fight was with DJ. Now, my thing is Dana White should make, if TJ and DJ want to fight, make them fight at 130. Don't make them fight at 135, 125. Don't put no belt on the line. Just make them fight at 130. That way the fans get what they want. It's a super fight between two talented guys, and they're just going in there to see who the best guy. So there's no added pressure of a belt being on the line or none of that. But they just going to go in the ring and see who's the best. I think Dana White is the one that's actually at a crossroads now because, as you see with the UFC now, there's a lot of guys that are looking for a super fight. They're not looking for to fight a guy in their division. They're looking for money fights now. So just like when T. Woods said he would go out to fight George St. Pierre, and then TJ said he would go down to 125 to fight DJ. And then you got even the women talking about they will fight each other, like Nunez said she will fight Cyborg. So it's like now everybody's looking for big money fights. So me personally, with the TJ and DJ thing, I think DJ would clean them up because I don't think TJ is as fast as DJ. But at the same time, is TJ is so unorthodox that it might take Demetrius probably about a round and a half to figure him out. But I still think DJ would dominate him. And I think the fight should be at 130.
Okay, okay. I like that. It's, you know, nowadays it's hard because everybody wants to fight for a title no matter what's happening. And all these, you see other MMA organizations always making new titles. And that's what intrigues the fans is, oh, they're fighting for this belt. Oh, let's make this belt and then have, you know, this person who's a draw for fans fight for this belt because they're popular and fighting for a belt is popular. So you have two draws right there. So I don't know what they'll end up wanting to do. Speaking of that, though, a recent thing that I had I'd come across, Bellator is doing a heavyweight title tournament because they don't have a heavyweight division. I didn't even know they didn't have a heavyweight division because, to be frank, I don't give a – I don't watch Bellator at all. Like, I don't follow that thing. I mean, I see their news here and there. Like, I might see, like, some results of a fight, but maybe a short clip. But I don't watch the actual events. I don't even understand what the format is. I'm still trying to figure it out. I know they got a good handful of, you know, UFC guys over there, particularly a lot of washed-up guys. They like to take, you know, fighters that were, you know, has-beens from the UFC and try and, you know, recreate them as a star in their organization. I don't know if it works, but, you know, I seen it there. They got Chael Sonnen. They got Rampage Jackson from the old days. They got Fedor, whatever his name is over there. They got these things. You seen
Fedor
the tournament?
Maliko.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, man. I saw that today, man. I just started laughing because I find it quite funny. You got Rampage, Chael Sonnen, and King Mo, who are not regular heavyweights. They are normally light heavyweights. So they're going up in weight. And then you got Fedor, Matt Mitrione, and Frank Mir. So you have four of the six guys are originally from UFC, and then three of the six guys aren't even natural heavyweights. So like I called it earlier on Twitter, this is the who can discover their prime tournament in the heavyweight division. So basically Bellator is just throwing this thing together, hoping that it'll draw fans in. But once I saw the names, it was just funny to me. I was like, this, I wouldn't even pay to see this. I hope it's free. I hope it's on free TV because there is no way they can make this into a pay-per-view, man. Because what you going to do? I mean, if you just look at the format, so what you going to have? Frank Mir fighting Rampage, Fedor fighting Chael, and then you got Matt Mitrione fighting King Mo. Seriously? I mean, what? So I don't get it, man. It's like,
I think they had,
if you don't,
no, go ahead.
If you don't have a heavyweight division, don't have a heavyweight division. You just make do with what you got. You gotta emphasize your other weight divisions. You don't have to come up with a world champion in a heavyweight division. That just don't make no sense to me. And that's just crazy. And then the names you threw out, it didn't even rattle my cage.
Man, I'm
saying,
made me laugh.
You know who else? I think, man, you talked about it on Twitter. It's just funny.
They also had I think there was one or two more guys in there. I know there was at least one more guy from the UFC who they just recently. Well, I don't know if they cut from the UFC, but he went to Bellator.
Roy Nelson.
Roy Nelson. Yeah. I think he's in there too. You think I saw his name in there too? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's just crazy to me. They try and
they take these guys who, like, you know, the forgotten talents, you know, past talent of the UFC, and try and, like, recreate, you know, bring them to stardom in front of a new crowd. And I agree, that tournament, I mean, I hope maybe they can do, like, a, because I think Bellator is on Spike TV and whatnot. Like, I think they do, like, TV, they do, like, it. I think it's on regular cable, but you can just watch it. I mean, maybe they'll do, like, a Ultimate Fighter type style, you know, copy in the UFC per usual, and they'll do, like, a episode week per week and just, like, feature, you know, maybe they'll do, like, a card of fights, and then maybe they can showcase some of their other talent, you know, and their other, because Bellator does have a good handful of other talent who is not from the UFC. I mean, they have, oh, you know who else? Speaking of which, Ryan Bader, he's in that tournament too. He's from the UFC.
I just remember that.
Hold on. Time out.
It was 8 men.
Ain't Ryan Bader the light heavyweight champion? And
That's what I said. And nobody wants to answer it. I'm like, what? Isn't this man already a champion?
Oh, my goodness gracious, man. See, that's what makes it laughable, man. It's like, oh, my goodness. All right, so let me get this straight. So you got Rampage, light heavyweight, KMO, light heavyweight, Chael Sonnen, light heavyweight, Ryan Bader, light heavyweight. And instead of you having a light heavyweight tournament, you are going to have a heavyweight tournament and make them go up in weight. That makes no sense at all. I think if you were to have a light heavyweight tournament, it would be more people interested in the product than you having a fake heavyweight tournament. It's just ridiculous, man.
But you know, man,
they trying to make their hay. They trying to make way. They trying to poach UFC fans, but this will make UFC fans laugh at Bellator. But you know what, though? I think, man, you talked about this early. I know we talked about this early on Twitter, but we're going to talk about it tonight. And I know it ain't on our rundown, but I'm going to ask you this. What do you make of this Paige VanZant thing, man? It's like she supposed to have a fight with Jessica Eye. Then she got injured. And then they renegotiated her fight with Jessica Eye. And then, according to Jessica Eye, Paige turned the fight down. And then Valentina challenged Paige today. So my thing is, what is going on with the UFC? When did the fighters all of a sudden now pick and choose who they will fight? What's going on?
I mean, it's crazy. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's just crazy, too, because I was reading a little bit about that, and I seen a different article, and it was talking about that. So I seen the Valentina challenge Paige VanZant for a title eliminator fight. So I'm like, okay. So that's at what? Wait. So that's a 125. They're fighting 120. So title eliminator fight. So she came out the woodwork too, and Paige VanZant turns down the fight on the second try with Jessica Eye, saying that she don't want to fight her now. And then there was another thing I saw about Paige VanZant said that her next fight was going to be for the title, for the new division. You know, they got that Ultimate Fighter series that's going on now with, I think, Alvarez and Justin Gaethje are the coaches. It's for the new women's division, that she was going to fight for that belt in her next fight. But then the UFC didn't come out. I don't think the UFC came out and said that was either Dana White, maybe Dana White or like another source might have said that Dana White said that was not true. I don't know if that's officially not true or is it true, but it just seemed like, you know, it seems like fighters, like you said, since when fighters are coming out and just picking their fights like that, and then, you know, they have a fight, and then, you know, you fall out the fight, then you're back in the fight, then you're denying the fight, now you're picking your next. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. I thought that I thought Joanna was going to win. No, I was rooting for Rose. I said Joanna's going to win, though. And then if she does win, a good fight for her would be versus Valentina. That would be a super fight for the woman. That's what I wanted. Well, that's what I wanted and predicted to happen, even though seeing Rose win was, you know, I was happy with that too. But I still think Valentina should be in there. I think she's a contender. And even though she couldn't beat, can't beat Nunes or whatever, and maybe we don't want to see them fight a third time, I think she deserves to fight for another belt. She's a really good striker. And, you know, she'll fight anybody. You won't see her, you know, taking a fight and then backing down like that. And I like to, I like seeing Paige VanZant fight, but at the same time, it's like I don't want to see people that are, you know, backing down, you know, from somebody and then turn around and saying,
exactly,
like, oh, I'm going to fight for the belt.
Exactly.
Because it's like,
that's
why
the point
you,
I'm trying to make.
How do you think you're going to be a champion? How are you going to be a champion? And then the next person that wants to challenge you, you're just going to be like, nah, I'm not fighting you. I don't know. I just don't think
that
it works that way.
Because you know what I see happening? If they let the fighters do that, the UFC becomes boxing.
Oh, no, we can't.
Yeah, because boxing dudes pick to fight who they choose to fight, when they want to fight them, where they want to fight them, and all this. UFC cannot bow down to the fighters. Once you bow down to the fighters, you will turn into boxing. Do not let this happen. If you turn into boxing, you will lose your fan base faster than you ever thought, because you will have top five guys fighting bottom 20 guys just to get a paycheck. And you will not have contenders fighting contenders, and you won't have real champions. Do not become boxing, UFC. Please don't.
I mean, I sure would hope not. It's a couple things, situations like that. People say that in a way is already happening. I mean, well, it was happening in a few cases. You had, Bisping took an awful
Michael
long
Bisping.
Time. You know, he fought, Bisping, he fought Dan Henderson. I think he was like, he was a ranked fighter, but he was like one of the last guys like in the ranked list. He was like number 14 ranked or something like that. And, I mean, this man, he could have fought like anybody in the top five. I mean, he beat Rockhold, who was like arguably the best dude out there at that time. I mean, I'm a big Rockhold fan. Like, I'm still trying to see him come back and maybe fight for the belt again. But, you know, he beat Rockhold the first time. Rockhold, I mean, he had a pretty impressive win versus Weidman. I mean, there's a lot of talent. That's the thing. There's a lot of talent in that division. So it seemed like there is some picking and choosing. I mean, DC kind of pick and choose a little bit. I feel like he kind of, you know, waits out his time to when he wants to fight. Maybe it's not so much of who he wants to fight, but I think he has a little say, plus the time frame of when he wants to fight, because they definitely gave him an awful long time. And I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like if you're a champion, like, I mean, I know fighters need breaks and this and that, and you got to have a training camp and you got to get healthy and, you know, this and that or whatever. You got to do your weight cut or whatever, how long it takes. But, I mean, I feel like if you're a champion, like, you, if you win the belt, like, I think you should be fighting at least one more time that year. Like, if you're going to fight in, like, the first few months of the year and you don't have another fight, like, if you don't defend the belt by, like, December of that year, I don't know. I mean, like, after that point, you're going to break the new year and still not defend the belt. Your validity as a champion starts to diminish in my eyes.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you, man, because I think now, man, it's like the UFC has so many events going on that I ain't going to say it's watered down the product, but you do get – it's like me with Beyonce. When Beyonce was on her 2 or 3 year run, I was like, if I never heard another song about her, I'll be good. It was like every time I turn the radio, there's a new Beyonce song, a new Beyonce video on. I think the UFC needs to slow their roll, start having so many events, make the events you have major events. ain't saying everything has to be like a WrestleMania, you know, per se, but how your have four main events every year and then sprinkle in about four or five other events just to get you through the year. Like, what we had? We had a pay-per-view last weekend. We got a UFC fight night this week.
There's one tomorrow night, yeah.
December 2nd. Yeah, then December 2nd, we got the UFC Detroit, I think. And then I think we got another event December 30th for UFC. That's a lot, man. That's a whole lot, man. And for a fan, I'm not complaining about it because most of it is free. I mean, at least one of the events is free. But it kind of waters down the product. But at the same time, I understand what Dana is doing. Some of these lower-level guys, you got to get them exposure, and the best way to get them exposure is by putting them on UFC fight nights and free fights and stuff like that for the fan. So I understand that part of the business. But don't have so many of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But speaking of people picking their fights, I know this right here going to stick in your craw because you was actually hyping this fight up. Wonderboy Steven Thompson versus Darren Till. First, Dana came out and said they was making that fight. And then Wonderboy coach come out and says, we are not looking at fighting Darren Till at this time. What do you make of that?
Man, that's the thing. Like, it's like you, all right, so you have, first of all, it's bad enough that the UFC can't even keep, like, a full card for these events. So, say they did, you know, cut off a few events of the year and have less cards. Like, they can't even keep fighters on the cards anyways. Never mind having reports be wrong. Like, dudes coming out and saying, you know, Steven Thompson versus Darren Till. This is what I read. Steven Thompson versus Darren Till was supposed to happen in London. I think February 28th in London, UFC London, it was supposed to happen. I think maybe a fight night main event. I don't know if that was a physical card or whatever. I was looking forward to it.
UFC fight night.
Regardless. Yeah, I was looking forward to it regardless. And I get why Steven Thompson, I get why Wonderboy maybe thinks that fight doesn't have much in it for him. But at the same time, it's like, man, the concept of it makes sense. Like, you have a new, if you're not, okay, this is my thing, if you're not scared to lose to Darren Till, then why don't you want to fight him? That's my issue with that. Like, maybe you feel like, okay, he's not qualified. Like, I mean, he just fought Cerrone, who's I think number 6 in the same division as Wonderboy. Wonderboy's like number 2 or 3, so he just beat number 6. So Darren Till is now in the ranked, but he's like way up there. And, I mean, I don't know. I can see why he might feel like maybe Darren Till's not worthy. Maybe he's got to get a couple more fights under his belt. Then he's worthy to fight Steven Thompson. But you got to figure that there's a tiny bit of fear in there where Steven Thompson is thinking to himself, what if this man goes in here and, you know, what if he knocks me out in the first round? I mean, Darren Till is a very unorthodox striker. You look at his movement, and it's, you know, similar to that of Conor McGregor. And that is very, he's very unpredictable. And you can see why Cerrone had a hard time. You know, that man was, he couldn't do anything in there. And I was actually hoping Cerrone could have, you know, surprised everybody and pulled it off. I don't even know if Cerrone was even the favorite going into that. But regardless, man, I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both. One, he might not feel like he's worthy yet. He's got to get a few more stripes under the belt. Or two, I mean, it's got to be a little bit of that he's just scared to lose and, you know, tarnish himself in the ranks. Because, you know, Wonderboy wants to get that third fight with Woodley. You know, he wants that T-Wood fight in 2018. So you got to figure.
Now, my thing,
nobody wants to see that again.
One thing is this with Wonderboy. First of all, what you got to lose? Number one, you're not going to get a third title fight. We all know that. Dana White is not going to give you a third title fight. So you might as well just stay busy. You make more money being a headliner. So you just go over there and fight the guy and get it over with. You know, either Darren Till is a drop in the bucket or you know, Darren Till is for real. Secondly, if you don't feel like Darren Till is up to your level, then you just jump in there, beat him up, and get it over with. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no need of, you know, talking down about the guy. In my words, it sounds like he's scared to fight the man. That's just my word, my opinion. I don't know. But I like how Frankie Edgar does it. Whenever somebody is there hyping them up, Dana White feeds them to Frankie Edgar, and Frankie either lets them keep ascending, or he beats the living hell out of them, and they go back to the drawing board and become better fighters. This is what Stephen Thompson should have did with Darren Till. It's either Darren Till is the real deal, or you knock him down a couple of rungs and you stay at the top. Don't say at this time we don't want to fight Darren Till. That's not an option for us. Because me as a fan, that sounds like at this time we're scared to fight Darren Till and we'll explore this option further down the road. That's just me personally. Because every time that Dana White, if there's an upstart prospect in Frankie Edgar's division, he will have them fight Frankie. Cub Swanson, lost. Chad Mendez, lost. Yair Rodriguez, lost. Everybody that's in Frankie's division that they think is going to be something, Dana does a smart thing, let Frankie clean them up, let them rediscover themselves, and then they go on to be hopefully better fighters. That's just my personal opinion. I could be wrong. But
Frankie,
even,
give him a
Stephen
little
Thompson
tap on the wrist.
Yeah, Stephen Thompson looking like a truck star right now. He's like he's running from Till. But that's neither here nor there. You know, MMA is MMA, and it is what it is.
So, and on that note, I got another thing. So I've been reading, I don't know if you saw it yet, but for a while, I know we were talking about this on Twitter, and I seen a lot of polls and things and people asking, you know, Cub Swanson, speaking of, he was trying to get in there because, speaking of Frankie, you know, he's out of the fight with Max Holloway for UFC Detroit in December.
He fell
out of that fight. And we were saying that we thought Cub Swanson, they would have got him in there. And I know he was lobbying for that fight a good amount. A lot of the fans actually wanted to see him in there. But I read reports today that was saying that Jose Aldo was about to get in there, and they were going to have a rematch, you know, him and Holloway run it back for the belt. And so, I mean, apparently that one's the closest one to being confirmed. That one's supposed to be locked in soon. They haven't signed nothing, but that one's in negotiation, and I guess both fighters have agreed to the fight. So we're likely going to be seeing that title rematch. What you make of that one?
Well,
if it goes down.
I got three takes on that one, man. I got three takes on that one. Number one, why would you replace Frankie with Cub Swanson, somebody that Frankie beat? Don't replace Frankie with somebody that he has beaten. That's number one. Number two, the UFC is always talking about fresh blood. Why not get Lamas to shot? Lamas has put in work. Lamas hasn't ducked nobody. Lamas probably has one of the best records within the division. That's number two. Last and not least, Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo sat back in the wings, and not once did he say that he wanted a rematch with Holloway until Frankie got hurt. He never campaigned for a rematch with Holloway. He just sat back. Now, all of a sudden, Frankie gets hurt and Aldo campaigns for a rematch. Why is this? Things that make you go, hmm. Now, I like the fight because of Detroit, because I think Detroit deserves a star-studded main event. And I don't feel like it would have been star-studded with Lamas or Cub Swanson, just because a UFC fan know who they are. Me and you know who Cub Swanson and Ricardo Lamas is. But all fans of UFC know who Jose Aldo is. Plus, Holloway just beat him. So I could see why the UFC would lean that way. But for me, let's give one of the fresh, newer guys a shot, just like they did with Tony Ferguson and my man Kevin Lee. That was an exciting fight, and it was two fresh faces. It wasn't recycled. It wasn't we're going to have Aldo Holloway 17. You know, I mean, we don't want to see that. I mean, you got to get other guys a shot, man. And I think if you get other guys a shot, it brings in new fans. And it keeps us old fans intrigued. In a way, I'm kind of torn on the Aldo thing. I don't like Cubs once and never have. I just wish it was Lamas. That's just me. I just wish it was Lamas. Where you stand at with that?
I mean, I felt like, I mean, I'm a bit of a Cub Swanson fan. I mean, I liked his last one, but at the same time, I didn't really feel like he deserved it. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you go back to, you know, off the same narrative, you said how can you replace Frankie with somebody that he beat, and now you have Aldo, somebody who has also been beat. I mean, somebody has also beat Cub Swanson, if I remember correctly. I'm pretty sure Cub Swanson did get a shot at Aldo's belt in the past and lost. So I can see how he would have fell out of the rank to get that spot, and Aldo would make it. I mean, plus he's a big name. So like you said, it's more star-studded, and fans who, you know, might be less familiar with, you know, these other names would be more familiar with Aldo. I mean, they're familiar with him losing his belt, a handful of times. I mean, never really winning the belt in impressive fashion or really doing much of anything. But I guess it's cool. I mean, they got the rematch. They can run it back. That's good. And maybe Holloway just, you know, finishes them in the third round again. Who really knows? I mean, Aldo's, he's not a real champion to me. I feel like he's a bum. I mean, everybody likes to make, you know, excuses for why he got knocked out in 13 seconds by Conor McGregor. I don't really see what's the excuse for that. But, I mean, you got knocked out, that's it. Like, what are you saying? You got a lucky shot? Like, the man got hit. Like, that's it. I mean, and then Holloway finished him in the third round. I mean, I don't think he even really deserves to be in there either. So, I mean, I probably would have rather seen one of these other guys. But, I mean, I guess it's cool for the fans who are familiar with him.
Let me ask you this real quick. Let's just say Aldo wins, right? Aldo wins. So Holloway beats Aldo. Aldo beats Holloway. Now you got the rubber match. Where does Frankie sit at in all that? Does Aldo now have to fight Frankie for a third time? Or do we have to wait on the rubber match between Holloway and Aldo, and then Frankie fights the winner? What happens with Frankie if Aldo wins?
Man, I don't know if the fans want to see him fight Aldo again. I don't know if that's really
exactly
what we need.
Exactly.
Unless Aldo can, if Aldo wins, if he can beat Holloway, I don't even know. I mean, I kind of hope he doesn't, because I don't want to see a trilogy fight with them guys. I mean, I don't know. I didn't even really like the last time. When's the last time he won? He fought Frankie the last time, UFC 200. They fought. I was so mad because Aldo, the whole fight, he looked like he was watching Floyd Mayweather, replays before that fight.
Yep.
Like that
yep.
was his game plan
yep.
on that fight. This man, and I was watching it with some of my family, and they kept on saying, "Oh yeah. This Jose Aldo guy, he should be a boxer. He looks like he'd better be a boxer." I'm like, good. Let him go be a boxer. Frankie's, look at this. This man is running. Look at him. Look at him skipping around. Frankie, I thought Frankie won that fight. You know, I was so aggravated because I'm like, man, this man was running the whole time from him. Frankie was trying to take his head off. Why come he didn't swing with him? That's the thing that makes me mad, is that let them go be a boxer and beat and bleed fighting scared. I don't like seeing that when people are fighting scared. And I feel like Aldo is a scared little man. That's what he is. Like Mayweather, scared little man. And he just runs away.
But see,
so
that's
I'm glad
why
that he,
I'm that's
glad
why,
he got finished two times.
That's why
and lost he'll lose again.
But that's why I think Llamas should have been the pick. Because if, let's say, if Llamas beats Holloway, then it's still a fresh guy. It's somebody that Frankie never fought. He comes back, he fight a guy he never fought. And then if Holloway, and then Frankie, let's say if Frankie beats Llamas, then Llamas fight Holloway, then Frankie beats Llamas, then Holloway comes back and he challenges Frankie. That way you keep new blood, you got new fights. Because I'm hoping that Aldo doesn't win, because I know that means Frankie would get pushed back even more to get his title, because Dana is not going to have him fight Aldo for a third time. And then the fight after that would be Frankie versus Holloway to see who fights Aldo. And that's the only way Dana would be back in the corner to have Frankie fight Jose for a third time. Now, if Aldo wins, I wouldn't mind saying Frankie versus Llamas. I don't want to see Frankie versus Cub Swanson again. So if Aldo wins, I want to see Frankie versus Llamas. And then we go from there. It's just crazy, man. I did not want Aldo to get another shot. I'd rather it been Llamas. So that's my reason why.
Okay, so one thing is that whatever happens, I agree. I hope Holloway finish Aldo in the first round, and that's a wrap for that whole thing. And they we don't have to worry about it. You see some of these, you know, younger guys and fresh talent get in there, get some new title fights, because
the big name thing
is getting old. Big name thing is getting old, man. The UFC. I mean, it's good to try to attract fans, but at the same time, it's like, you know, there's guys that deserve these shots more. I mean, Aldo, when at any point was Aldo a real champion? Like, he was never a real, and he had the audacity to say other people, talk about other people being not being a real champion. Yeah, you know, Frankie beat him in that last fight. You know, so that's another reason why I don't want to see them again. He's just going to run away. Frankie's going to be, you know, providing the whole fight. You know, the whole thing is going to be on the feet. Aldo's going to run scared. And that's just how that man is. He's a scared fighter, man. He's not a champion. He's nothing. So
yeah, man, I'm telling you, man.
I hope one of these other guys gets in there and they have a war.
And that brings up another point that me and you didn't talk about, but it came out this week too. Dominique Cruz, he gets hurt. He was supposed to fight Rivera, and the person that won that fight was going to fight TJ for the belt. Dominique Cruz never once said he wanted a rematch with Cody. But soon as TJ won, he come out the woodwork saying that he wanted to get his championship rematch. It's like, come on, dog. You got to go fight Rivera. What is it all of a sudden you want to get a rematch? You want to fight for your belt again? So I look at Dominique Cruz as saying, I can't beat Cody, but I got a better chance of beating TJ. What you think about that, bro? Give it to me real.
Well, I mean, if you look back, I mean, he knows he can beat TJ. I mean, he beat TJ the last time. I mean, really looking at it, they had a close fight. A lot of people had TJ winning that fight. But, I mean, Cruz must feel – he feels confident enough to where he felt like he won that fight. And he won the belt back, you know, and, you know, it must be that, you know, he doesn't think that
I thought he
can strike with Cody. He still doesn't believe he can strike with Cody. And I know, I don't think he can either. I think that Cody was, you know, far too confident fighting TJ, and that showed, and he You know, he paid for it. And I'm a fan of Cody, but that's, you can't go into a fight like that. I feel like when he fought Cruz, he got more confident in the later rounds when he started to realize that Cruz was falling for all of his traps. You've seen Cody setting traps, and Cruz, you know, he knocked Cruz down so many times in the fight. He could have finished him in so many moments, but he kept letting that man get back up. That was one thing I liked about that fight. But I don't think Cruz liked that about that fight. I don't think he liked to get knocked down that many times, and knowing that Cody could have finished him at any of those moments.
Yeah, I think he got knocked down about seven times in that fight. I think it was about seven times.
It was bad, man. Dethroning right there. That was bad. That was real bad. And I think he's also scared to fight the Jimmy Rivera character, and he thinks TJ is the easier fight. That's what I believe. You know, cut and square.
Amen.
Jimmy Rivera is
Amen.
A monster. And I thought Jimmy was going to beat him. My thing was, I was just waiting for Cruz to lose to Jimmy, and then TJ was going to fight Jimmy for the belt. Well, Jimmy was going to fight TJ for the belt, I should say. I thought that was the next one. It might even still be the next one, though. Now that, you know, Jimmy's still healthy, they might find him somebody else to step in and then make that the title eliminator.
Let me break this news to you. I don't know or not you watch UFC tonight, but they say Uriah Faber is talking about coming out of retirement to fight TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah. We're not even gonna give time to that. I saw that, but I don't even want to waste it. We're not even gonna waste it, man. That's ridiculous. This man, everybody just wants to, you know, man. You know what? I just want to ask one quick thing. We're gonna give we could both put in a minute for this. We'll just throw in a quick thing. This is one thing we didn't get to that I want to throw in there. So all the champions lost. We kind of talked about Cody a bit. We talked about Joanna a little bit. I mean, we can maybe get to that one of the next ones. But what is next for what? We figured GSP. He's probably gonna. He has to fight Robert Whittaker now, and that's probably his biggest challenge. In that division, I think he could beat a lot of the top guys in that division. A lot of people don't. What do you think is next for GSP at this point in time?
I think GSP, man, he has to fight Whittaker, because the thing is Whittaker is the interim champ. He earned his spot. Bisping didn't want to fight him. GSP has to step to the fight and fight Robert Whittaker. Now, GSP also has the option of, he can drop back down. He can go back to his original weight class and forfeit the belt and have Whittaker fight Yoel Romero or Rockhold for the belt to be the new champ. But I think GSP will stay at his current weight division. He'll fight Robert Whittaker. If he loses to Whittaker, he drops back down and he fights the winner of the next turn. He fights the winner of the turn Woodley next fight. So GSP has a lot of options. And I like.
So what you more or less saying
like
is
him,
that
man.
If he loses, he drops down to fight Woodley. What you're basically saying.
Yep.
As you said, the winner of Woodley's next fight. So you have GSP fighting Woodley. Basically, what you said.
Oh.
Woodley's not losing none of these fights, man.
Because Woodley is going to fight the winner of the Lawler RDA fight.
Rafael Dos Anjos.
RDA. Yep. So
We're
going to
talk
Woodley's
about
gonna
that
fight the
next
that
one.
Fight.
That one's going to be good.
Yep.
That one's going to be good. I can't wait. That's going to be a brawl right there.
Yeah. So I think GSP has two options. His first option is he has to fight Robert Whittaker. If he beats Whittaker, I think he fights Rockhold after Whittaker. And then if he loses to Whittaker, he drops down and fights the winner of the Woodley Lawler RDA fight. So he has options.
You imagine imagine GSP and Robbie Lawler. That would be, no one would expect that. That'd be like a super fight in itself right there. I mean, Robbie Lawler was a champion,
man,
for a while. Not GSP Lawler.
That'd be a good fight because punchers, strikers get GSP his hardest fights because he's not as good of a striker as he is a wrestler, jiu-jitsu type of dude. He'd rather take you down and do his work. He don't want to stand on his feet. So he going to have his hands full with Whitaker. And if he has to fight Lawler, he would definitely have his hands full with Lawler.
I mean, the Whitaker kid is not – that fight is – yo, it's not to be underestimated. That kid is something else. He's special. I mean, he had two crazy wins back-to-back. People don't even talk about that. I mean, he beat Yoel Romero. I didn't even know he was on that level. I mean, I was like, oh, okay, they gave Yoel Romero a pretty easy fight to just get right through. I had no idea what the other kid was about. I just wasn't familiar with him. But GSP got his hands full, man. That Whitaker fight is going to be a test. That's going to be a huge test for him. You know, a much bigger challenge than Michael Bisping. And we're going to see, I guess. No, we only got, speaking of which, though, we only got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to know, what's on your mind? What's the biggest thing? What you got to say to these people before we go out?
Oh, man, I think the biggest thing that's on my mind as far as sports-wise is NFL Thursday night games. NFL, please get rid of Thursday night games. When I grew up, NFL had Sunday games, Monday night games, and you will have the traditional Thanksgiving Day games. Why do we have to have a Thursday night game every week? It's not a good product. The games aren't pretty good. The offenses are vanilla. And the quality of the game is not worth watching. Last night, I was watching Arizona and Seattle, and I found myself flipping back to LeBron versus James Harden more than I was watching the game. NFL, get rid of Thursday night games. It's not a good product. NFL players, if you are against Thursday night games, do a better job negotiating your collective bargaining agreement. Get rid of Thursday night.
Okay, cut out a bit. But anyways, what's on my mind is that you have the Celtics have just won 10 games straight. You know, Kyrie Irving takes over in the second half of every game. And a lot of people are saying that it's not as big of a deal compared to teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, and Golden State Warriors kind of just, you know, waltz their way through every season. I mean, maybe compared to this guy is not as big. You know, Cleveland's usually a 50-win team. I mean, but if you look back at it, it's like Cleveland had a couple bad games, and the Celtics have won 10 straight games now. They lost their first two games. I mean, they probably would have beat Cleveland if Hayward didn't go down with an injury. So it probably would be 11 straight games or maybe whatever in the middle. I mean, it's their best. This is their best record. They have the best record in the league. Plus, this is their best record since the 08 season. And I think that's worth noting. And everybody take a look out for that. It's been good talking to y'all tonight. Please shout out. I'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening to our show. You know, me and Keys, next week we're going to do the hip-hop show. Our last hip-hop show was very good, and we enjoyed it. It was very spirited. So next week we're going to try to do another hip-hop show. So y'all stay tuned. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at LEVANSTIAN 757. And he is at KEYSS TV, right?
TV. TV, two S's, all lowercase, at Twitter.
That's
hashtag.
That's right.
Tweet us.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. And everybody have a good and safe weekend. And happy Veterans Day to all the vets out there. We love y'all.
Of course.
Stay safe.
Salute our veterans. Thank y'all for listening. Till next time.